My guest this week is an Amazon best-selling author, marketing guru, and the chief innovation officer at ACAP Health. His book, Connecting Happiness and Success, is a must-read. Ray White breaks down what employers are failing to do and how Joyages solves the issues of employee happiness. Check out his books and ACAP Health. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe or leave us a rating. Thanks.
Matt McGee is an employee of Frost Insurance. All opinions shared by Matt or guests of the Healthy Conversations podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of Frost Insurance or Frost Bank. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for insurance, banking, or investment advice. Healthy Conversations with Matt McGee is brought to you by Straight Up Podcasts.
Ray, thanks for coming on the show.
Sure.
Let's jump right on in. I would love to hear a little bit about what you're working on and ACAP Health, and then we'll take it from there.
Sure. So ACAP Health, what we're trying to do is find solutions or companies that make employees healthier. And if employees can be healthier, not go to the doctor as often, not go to the emergency room as often, and just overall become healthier, that employers don't have to pay as much in insurance and healthcare costs and things like that. So, you know, it's a win-win. If we can make employees healthier, they're going to be more, perform better, more productive, and it's costs less for the employer.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm working towards. It's what you guys are working towards. So you're the chief innovation officer. I mean, that's an awesome title. What exactly does that entail?
Awesome title. And what we're supposed to do is find innovative solutions. And so what is it that the market isn't seeing? How do we get ahead of the market? How do we do things that are, that research is showing works, but kind of the masses of the general population doesn't understand or know about yet? So how can we innovate in those areas and bring people truly unique solutions? Again, the research is showing works, but the, you know, general population hadn't understood it yet or gotten used to it or heard about it yet.
Interesting. And what are some of the main things that you guys have been seeing that you're working on now? I know you've talked a lot about previously is Joyages and your book. Is that the main area you're focused on, or what trends are you guys seeing?
Yeah, so Joyages and mental health is probably the fastest growing and most talked about area. We're also doing things with diabetes management using cell phones and technology to help people manage their diabetes. We're looking at stem cell work and stem cell research so people can avoid surgery. We're also looking at caregiver support. So as the population ages, many people have to start taking care of their parents. So how do we help them do that in a way that keeps them focused on work and keeps them productive and kind of helps reduce their stress? But yeah, the mental health area and Joyages and what we call preventative care for brain health is what's really heating up. And this concept of normalizing therapy, normalizing the concept that, look, there's something we can do about mental health. We can help people in this area. It's a major crisis with suicide rates going way up, depression rates going way up, anxiety rates going up. And they're not just going up for, you know, young people. It's the baby boomers are going up. They're going up for the millennials, which you know, today is about 52% of the workforce, and they're going up for the Gen Z at an even higher rate. And so when you look at these increases in challenges or crises in mental health, it's, you know, we're not just talking small increments. We're talking hockey stick type growth. And it's something we as a society, we've got to do something about it. We've got to attack that crisis and you know, help all the people that need help.
From your research, what have you seen that's really driving that? I mean, if it's not just millennials, have you been able to pinpoint what's really causing that? I know you wrote a book about that, but I'd be very interested to hear your take on that.
Yeah, so we really think it can be understood if you look at what we call good intentions. If you think about it, and the media does this probably the most, that people want you to be happy. And I say, hey, we want you to be happy. And so your parents want you to be happy. Your company wants you to be happy. Media is always talking about how you can be happy. And what we've created is great intentions, but kind of bad expectations, because as human beings, we don't interpret that as, hey, we need to be happy sometimes. We interpret that as we should never be unhappy.
Yeah,
and so we go through life. Yeah, yeah. So we go through life and we have these challenges in life that, by the way, everybody faces, and they make us sad. And so we're sad and we're thinking, oh, wait a minute. Everybody's telling me I'm supposed to be happy, but I'm sad. So, you know, maybe there's something wrong with me. And so now people are sad that they're sad because they think there's something wrong with them. And then you add into that this social media. And what do people find on social media? Well, I'm sad that I'm sad. And now I go look at all my friends. Well, they're happy and they have all these friends and families and, you know, everything's going great for them. So now there's something definitely wrong with me. And we're sliding into what we call sliding down the depression staircase. So you go from sad that you're sad to depression. And so we've got this challenge of helping people understand that the opposite of happiness is not sadness. The opposite of happiness is apathy and not feeling anything. And so we need to teach people that, look, being sad is part of life. Frustration, anger, all the emotions, both good and bad, are part of life, and they're actually part of being happy. And it's okay. And we need to teach them how to be sad and understand that they will get back to happy and that sad things do happen, and that's okay because they happen to everybody. And so that's really what we try to do with Joyage is, you know, how do we teach people that it's okay to be sad? I want you to be sad. I wrote 3 books on happiness, and I tell people, I want you to be sad. I want you to have all the emotions in life and live life to its fullest versus, you know, feeling apathy and trying to numb yourself and trying to not feel anything because you don't want to, you know, feel like something's wrong with you.
That all makes total sense. To take a quick step back, how did you go from a marketing executive working at a number of companies here in DFW to a healthcare company to writing multiple books around happiness and creating Joyages? I think telling that story quickly would be very interesting to really set the stage there.
Sure, yeah. So as a marketing professional and executive, you know, our goal is performance. We want companies to perform and grow and that kind of thing. And the key to performance, as we all know, is people. You know, it's your people. And your people need to make good decisions. They need to have good relationships with their peers and the clients. And, you know, they need to want to work hard and have a higher purpose. And so we knew that was what was important, that performance. And what we found was we need to teach, and I worked especially in the digital field. So we had a lot of young people who understood the digital field. But we need to teach them leadership skills because they didn't have a lot of experience. You know, they're 2 years, 3 years, 4 years out of college, and they're dealing with accounts that are $5 million, $10 million, and they're talking to vice president. Well, they know their stuff, but they don't necessarily have any leadership skills. They don't necessarily have these skills to you know, look like they know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
So we started teaching them leadership. And then the key to leadership, which, you know, I don't think a lot of people talk about this. I think everybody knows it, but they don't talk about it. You don't follow a leader unless you think they're going to be successful, right? So you're not going to follow somebody you think is going to be a failure. You're going to follow somebody because you think they're going to be successful. So teaching leadership, we started teaching success and how to be successful and what traits of success were. And so that led us to doing all this research on success and that kind of thing. And it also led the millennials to kind of ask us lots of questions about happiness. And what the research showed was that people believe that if you're successful, then you'll get raises and promotions and big houses and nice cars and you'll be happy. And really what the research shows is if you, that doesn't necessarily, success doesn't necessarily make you happy, but that if you do the things like build your relationships, have a higher purpose, understand the difference between what's pleasurable and what's truly happiness, learn how to take control of your life. If you do these things, then you will be successful. And so being happy and doing the things that make you happy are actually what ends up in people being successful and feeling successful. So we go from, you know, having to teach kids to be leaders, to teach them success, to teach them happiness. And that research turned out to be really interesting and people really liked it. We taught it to a lot of young people and it was very successful. And then we ended up writing books about it. And those books, you know, people liked them and they did well.
Yeah, that's very cool. Did you start writing the books and that led you to ACAP, or how'd you end up leaving the marketing world for ACAP and a healthcare company, just given it's wildly different?
Yeah, and so studying performance and writing the books put me on kind of a personal mission to help people be happy and successful. And so how could I help the most people? And so I created an app to go along with one of my more successful books, Connecting Happiness and Success. And in building the app, I ended up meeting and talking to a lot of great people. And so the executive here at ACAP, his name's Wally Goma, was really intrigued by what we were doing and what how it could help people. And so he and I talked actually for a couple of years before we finally decided, okay, we've got a good plan on how we could work together and how we can create Joyages and how we can make that work for employers and help employers help their employees basically handle life's challenges. We call it Life Coach in Your Pocket, you know, 3 minutes to handle life's challenges. And so it's something that employees really want. It's something that really helps the employers. And again, it, you know, fits my personal mission of, you know, we are attacking the mental health crisis. We are going to do something to help people be happier. And in turn, that'll help them be more successful.
Awesome. Yeah, I've played around a little bit in Joyages from when Scott told me about it. For an employer that maybe has never heard of Joyages, could you give us a 2-minute overview of the app and what you guys are doing there?
Sure. So Joyages is preventative care for brain health. And if we look at what employers do right now, they wait until somebody is diagnosed with some kind of a crisis before they help them. And what we believe is we need to address the 90% of employees before they go into a crisis. And so what Joyages does is provides people with information, mostly videos, to teach them how to deal with the life's challenges, how to find a higher purpose, how to prioritize, how to deal with relationships, how to deal with relationships at work, romantic relationships, and those kinds of things. So we try to give them content that's going to help them build habits to deal with life's challenges. We also give them an instant connection to a therapist. We want to normalize therapy. We want people thinking, well, going to a therapist is just like going to a doctor, going to a dentist, using a trainer. And so we have, at the click of a button, licensed therapists available for people to talk to. And so for an employer, it helps them give their employees something that's going to, you know, it's life coaching and helps with self-improvement. But it also gives them access to clinical assessments, licensed therapists, and all the things somebody might need if they do start to head towards that crisis. And it's much more effective. We found it as much as 10 times as effective as the current systems where, you know, you give them a phone number and they never use the phone number because somebody has to, you know, force them into that. And so they don't get the help that they need.
Yeah, that was my next question. Does this replace an employee assistance program, or do you think of this as more preventive before the EAP program would ever kick in?
Yeah, so what we try to do is support whatever mental health program employers want. And so like 1%, maybe 2% of people are actually utilizing EAPs. So we'll actually connect to the EAP within Joyages so that you can continue to get usage out of that and your employees can continue to access it. But what we're doing is making it even better. So number one, giving people quicker access. Number two, getting people there before there's a crisis so that it doesn't take as, they don't need as much help. There's not as much struggle and trouble. And then make it a lot simpler. Right now with the old EAPs, you're doing old fashioned therapy where you have to, you know, you drive an hour to go see somebody, see them for an hour, and then you drive an hour back once a week, and you got to tell people I'm having therapy. With the digital therapy, you know, you have trouble with your boss, you walk out of a meeting, you can text or email your therapist right then, get feedback right then, and start dealing with the matter right then. And then you can do that 24/7 the whole month rather than just meeting with them four times a month. So it's a better, quicker way. And it's an alternative. You don't have to replace your EAP. It's an alternative to your EAP. So again, there's more usage and more people are getting the help they need.
I'm sure one of the concerns employees likely have is that their boss is going to find out, especially if it is an issue with their boss. What sort of data is an employer seeing based on utilization? Is that a concern, or is it very high-level data that you guys are providing back to an employer?
Yeah, that's really important, right? So the person who's using it, it's got to be completely confidential, right? The
Absolutely.
Employer can't know, who's using it or why they're using it. Or, people want to keep that information confidential and personal. And so, we don't share anything like that with the employers. What we tell the employers are things like, here's the average happiness rating of your employees. Here's how many people are taking the depression assessment or the anxiety assessment. Here's how many people are connecting to a therapist. What kinds of content do people really like? Like, are people really focused on stress? Are they really focused on career building or prioritization? Or are they focused on maybe relationships at work, those kinds of things? And so you get a mental health picture, but it is a rolled up picture so that what everybody does is completely confidential, anonymous, and the company can never know.
Yeah, that's probably the only way you could structure it. How long has that been out, and like, who has mainly been utilizing it thus far?
Yeah, so the app came out in February.
Okay.
And we've got, I think we've got 5 or 6 companies on it now, with another big group that wants to start in January. We've had some really good success in that we're getting high utilization rates. Like if we email a group of people at a company, 50% of them will download it. Of those 50%, 40% will use it on a very regular basis. 77% will use it at least once. And so what you're looking at is an EAP gets 1 or 2% utilization. And, with Joyages, we're getting 20% utilization. And
That's
then when
awesome.
We look at those people, it's really good. And it's because we're doing videos and because it's an app, and there's all these different things we have learned over the past 13 years on what drives engagement. So that's really working for us. But the really interesting thing is, if you look at the clinical assessments for anxiety and depression, the people taking them are higher scores than normal. So not only are we getting a high percentage of the people, we're getting the people who need it, right? So we can tell that we're getting a category or a group of people that are, in a bigger need than the normal population. So we feel like we're accomplishing what we want to accomplish. We're constantly upgrading and changing and improving. And then, one of the things we're doing is we're customizing content for each company. So like, we've got special content for police officers, special content for doctors, special content for different kinds of industries. And then sometimes companies want their own special programs put into this content. We do that as well. So, it makes it really relevant. It makes it something that the people can connect to. And it only takes 3 minutes a day. So if you do it in 3 minutes, every video is about 2 minutes. So if you do it 3 minutes a day, then there's a lot bigger chance you're going to do it than if you think you have to sit down for 30 minutes or an hour to do a class or whatever.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, this almost sounds like an ongoing employee survey. Of those 20% that are utilizing it, you mentioned earlier that the mental health issues are not just a millennial issue. Have you seen any utilization trends? Is it a lot of millennials, or is it across the board?
Yeah, that's probably one of the most surprising, is it's not just millennials. It is across the board. And one of the big surprising things is the seniors, and I say seniors, I'm a senior, I'm a baby boomer. the boomers that are using it, right? You would think, okay, well, they're not as technology capable and all that, but no, they are using it. And, one of the things I get, because we can't look at anybody individually, but I do have people come up to me and talk to me, and I'm really amazed at the number of vice presidents and higher level, more experienced people that say, I'm using this, and here's what I'm using it for, and here's what I'm doing. And, it's kind of surprising to me sometimes, because you think, okay, well, it would be maybe a different group. Like you said, maybe the younger crowd, or maybe a crowd who thinks in a little more need.
Maybe financial stress.
These are guys who should be successful in their careers, guys and girls, successful in their careers, successful in their, the income they have, hopefully successful in their relationships, although that varies. And they're like, we need help. We want help, and we're reaching out to learn more, trying to learn more every day.
Do you think it's that whole idea of normalizing therapy that maybe that older generation had never considered? Is that one of the interesting ways, or are they just intrigued by the whole app and utilizing it across the board?
Yeah, I think it's both, but I think you're really hitting on something that's kind of come out. That is the concept of having to leave 3 hours once a week to go see a therapist really puts people off, because people don't want to tell people what they're doing.
No.
And they really, like, a lot of people don't tell their spouses that they're doing this digital therapy. They don't want to admit, especially the older generations, that they have a challenge, but they do want to talk to somebody, and they do want somebody that they can, you know, can help them understand and sort through their feelings and what's going on. And so, you know, that's where it's really interesting to see the older generation using it, is because there is a stigma for them about therapy. And so it's interesting to see something, you know, I hadn't predicted or thought would happen.
Interesting. I mean, you've had a ton of conversations around this over the years, and especially the past 6 months. What would you say some of the biggest mistakes a mid-size or really any employer is making that you've seen over the years?
Yeah, the biggest one and is this concept that, okay, I'm dealing with their physical bodies when they're here, and their mental is taken care of when they go home, right? Their challenges are at home. They're, you know, alcohol or relationships or whatever, all of that's happening at home. So work is work and home is home. And the people that, the employers that separate it that way, they just aren't seeing what's really happening in today's world. And so, you know, the guys who are really making strides are the ones that understand that your employees are going to be so much more productive if things are handled mentally. And we found this with physical things as well. If you're trying to deal with diabetes, you're trying to deal with weight loss, you're trying to deal with, you know, managing heart disease, if you don't have your mental health in line, it's real hard to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so if we can help people with that mental health side, then the physical is going to happen better. And it, you know, people spend a lot of time. I think it's 3 times as much money is spent on doctor visits and ER visits if you have mental health challenges. And so, and then all the time you spend at work worrying about things and challenges and dealing with those things. So if you can kind of solve those problems, or at least help them learn how to deal with those, then your team's going to be more productive and happier. And so mental health is, it's a company thing now. And that's where all the articles are coming out. That's what people are starting to realize, is it's truly a company challenge. It's no longer just something that stays at home.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's coming up more and more in the conversations we're having. I mean, for a mid-sized employer that maybe has never considered they have an EAP as part of their health insurance, what would be your quick minute, 2 minute pitch for somebody that maybe has never even considered a program like this?
Yeah, so something we built Joyages in a way that we have a complete marketing plan for rollout. It's real simple to get out to your employees. It's not intrusive. Most of them appreciate the fact that you're giving them, and the research actually shows this, right? People are actually more interested in personal development, finding a higher purpose, dealing with relationships, those kinds of things, than they are in money these days. So instead of giving them raises, you can give them these personal development options. I mean, you still have to give some raises, but
yeah, absolutely.
You can give them these personal development options, and that keeps them loyal. And so it's a real easy rollout. It's a benefit that you can give them. It's really not expensive as far as, you know, a medium-sized company's not going to pay that much to make it happen. And then you get this kind of mental health report for your company, and you can find out kind of what the challenges are, and you can focus on those areas, right? One of the things we all want to do as companies is train our people and teach our people and give them classes and things that are relevant to the challenges they're facing. And so we have great insight into that kind of right up front.
You alluded to it. What is the cost? I mean, are you able to go into any detail there, or is it just based on the size of the employer?
So it's based on the size of the employer. And if you're small, let's say 100 employees, it's going to be like $500 a month. Those are rough numbers. If you're a little bigger, let's say, you know, 2,000, then it's going to be somewhere in the $4,500 range. And if you're going to be in the $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, then it's going to be in the $5,000 range. Again, those are rough numbers. It all depends on what you want to do and how you want to do it and those kinds of things.
Gotcha.
But, and so, you know, those are kind of per month prices. So again, pretty reasonable when you consider all the other expenses and the increases in productivity and performance and all that stuff.
Yeah, you absolutely alluded to it earlier of how that is a foundational piece of all the other pieces like people dealing with diabetes that are really driving up healthcare costs. And if you can figure this out, it can help on the healthcare cost side.
Yeah, exactly right. It's, it is something that is in the middle of our companies now. And you know, we care about these people, right? As employers, we care about the people we work with. And this is one of the best ways we can help them. So.
Couldn't agree more. I was reading your connecting happiness with success, and wanted to ask, what's one of your favorite happiness hacks? And do you really give 4 to 8 hugs a day? I thought that number was very high.
Yes. And so the 4 to 8 hugs a day, now that my kids have moved off to college, I'm getting less. So my wife has to kind of do extra work. But yeah, I get hugs at work as well. So I'm getting that. And one of the simplest hacks for happiness, again, that maybe people don't realize is if you smile at somebody, then even if you don't feel like smiling, if you smile at somebody, then that actually releases chemicals in your brain that make you happier. So faking a smile releases chemicals like oxytocin and makes you a happier person. And then you're smiling at somebody. They actually, through instinct and evolution, repeat that smile back. So they automatically repeat that smile back because, you know, from an evolutionary standpoint, they're checking to see if you're safe, if you're, you know, if you're going to hurt them. And so, and then what they're trying to do is find out if it's a genuine smile or not. And so they repeat that smile back. When they repeat that smile back, that makes you genuinely want to smile. And it also makes the next person they see genuinely want to smile. So smiles really are viral. They really do help you become happier. And if you just try to smile at 2 or 3 people a day, then you're going to be a little bit happier. And that's the other thing is you don't need to smile all day, every day at everybody. If you can just do it a couple times a day, just think about smiling, be happier a couple times a day. That's all it takes. It's a little bit at a time, small investment that really pays off. Gabe.
Easy enough. We can wrap up here with a couple easy rapid fire questions. I mean, you've had a ton of different experiences over the years. If you were right out of college and didn't have a ton of money to write a book or start your own company, what do you think you would work on? Would it be in healthcare or marketing, or would you go the book route?
Yeah, if I knew what I knew now, I would write a book, but I wouldn't do it for money because they're great, but they're not long-term money makers.
Yeah.
But what I really tell people, so I do some mentoring and some coaching. What I tell people is to really try to do what you love rather than what's going to make you the most money. And so I love helping people. I love helping people try to be happy. I love helping people try to be successful. And so I would try to find ways to do that, which it may be coaching. I would probably write blogs. By the way, if you want to write a book, write a whole bunch of blogs and put your blogs together. They become a book.
Yeah,
and then I would just, yeah, look for those companies and those opportunities where I could coach or help somebody be successful, like even helping my clients be successful, even helping my peers be successful and helping them be happy. And so those are the kinds of things I would look for if I was just coming out of college and knew what I know now.
I like it. Have you been reading, listening, or watching anything good that you would recommend?
Yeah, there's a great book called The Upside of Stress. And we didn't really talk about stress, but you know, the media has told us they've sent the wrong message about stress. People think stress kills. Stress doesn't kill, actually. The research never showed that. What it is it's the fear of stress or the belief that stress is bad for you that actually creates the chronic conditions that lead to heart attacks and those kinds of things. And what they found is that stress actually releases good chemicals for you. Like it releases oxytocin, it makes you want to bond with people. It releases chemicals that are going to help you focus and learn more. And it also prepares your body, it inoculates you for bigger stress. So Upside of Stress is a great book that I'm working through right now, but it's a great concept for everybody to understand that stress is not bad for you. Stress is actually good for you. And if you understand that and use stress to make you better, then it makes you healthier and stress, you know, you have less stress later in your life.
I will check that out. You've probably interviewed hundreds of people over the years. What's one of your favorite interview questions?
That's a great question. I think one of the best interview questions that fits what I do is, how do you define happiness? And you know, this concept, we all, the media tries to define it for us. Our parents try to define it for us. You know,
Instagram, you see it everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And so what do you think of that? What's really happiness for you? And it's really interesting when people stop and really think, because, you know, the first thing that comes out is, well, you know, having a good family and being successful and all this kind of stuff. But when people really stop and think, it's interesting the things that people want to do and what they want to accomplish in their life and what they really enjoy doing. And sometimes, you know, menial tasks like gardening, right? It seems so simple and basic, but people love it. And it just makes them happy to be able to grow stuff and plant stuff and even to weed and that kind of thing. And so it's really interesting. And it gets people excited. Their passion comes out. Yeah, so that's always a great question.
I like that one. And we can wrap up here. What is something you believe in that few others do?
I think the concept that you should embrace stress. Stress is good for you. I think the concept that leaders are looking for people who are successful. And then it's not just me. A lot of people and a lot of science supports this, but focusing on your happiness instead of your success is a better formula. Be happy, and that'll help you be successful, which has worked tremendously well for me. But the science shows that. So I think those kinds of things are kind of what I believe that I'm trying to help other people understand.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's a great place to end it. Ray, I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, man, it was great talking to you, and I really appreciate the time. And if there's anything I can do, let me know.
I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Hi, everyone. It's Matt. Thanks again for tuning into Healthy Conversations. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a 5-star rating, or write a quick review. If you really loved it, share the episode on social media. It really helps our iTunes ranking. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.